You call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Yes, indeed. It is time for Neighbourhood Watch with Radio Adelaide's Nicole Whitting. How are you today, Nicole?
I'm great, thanks. How are you, Tess?
Very good, thank you. So, Australia has suspended their air missions over Syria amidst the US-Russia tensions. So, what does this mean for Australia?
Yes, so basically Australia has like six fighter jets based in the United Arab Emirates that strike targets in Syria and Iraq. But for the time being, as you've said, the Australian Defence Force is suspending air combat missions over Syria. So this is basically in response to Russia threatening it could treat any plane from the US-led coalition, which we're obviously a part of, as a potential target if they fly west of a specified point. I think it was the Euphrates River. So this is all basically in response to the US shooting down a Syrian fighter jet recently and this whole escalation with Russia. And because of all those tensions there, as an allied force with the US, Australia has gotten caught up in this too. So the Department of Defence has said the air situation will be closely monitored and that personnel will make a decision on resuming operations there in due course. But what it means for Australia is kind of unclear, I guess, because, you know, the Syrian conflict is so complicated and it's really difficult to establish what's going on when there's so many different countries and groups involved. But to be safe, I guess Australia is being cautious. And it'll be interesting to see what other countries do. Because last I read, you know, other places like the UK haven't reacted in the same way as we have in response to all of this.
So, yeah, I think, like, if they hadn't suspended it, would that have posed a threat to Australia, do you think?
It could have. I mean, you know, I'm thinking if they don't want to take the risk and if they fly in this area, if they're going to be brought down by a Russian plane, I mean, nobody would be happy with that. So I think we're, you know, just trying to be safe and watching the situation. And if it escalates, then maybe we'll have to respond to that rather than, you know, getting involved too early.
Yeah, and so Pauline Hanson has been under quite a bit of fire about her comments calling to remove children with disabilities like autism from mainstream classrooms.
Yes, so this story has been getting a lot of coverage over the past few days, you know, which is understandable because it's a very controversial thing that One Nation Senator Pauline Hanson is saying. So she's basically said, yeah, that children with disabilities like autism are putting a strain on teachers and schools, with her reasoning behind the statement being that other children are held back by teachers spending time with those children who have disabilities. So the suggestion was made during a debate on the federal government's school funding legislation, with Hanson calling for children with disabilities to be educated basically separately to everyone else in a different, you know, different schools. And across the board, politicians have criticised the remarks. Disability advocates have said the statements were deeply offensive and there's no need for people to be divided in this way. And as I'm sure you'll predict, it's, you know, been like a talking point with a lot of people. People are confused as to why she would say this. And, yeah, a lot of people who have, a lot of parents who have children with autism and things like that are saying, you know, this is so archaic and unhelpful. Yeah, it's quite interesting. I mean, she seems to come out with these controversial comments all the time on all different topics.
It seems like they just kind of blurt out and perhaps haven't really been thought about maybe the offence that she could cause from what she said.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, her whole rationale is, you know, I just say things people are uncomfortable with, but often they're uncomfortable with them because they just are uncomfortable with them.
Yeah.
It's not just because they don't like the words that she's using.
Yeah. So, and I mean, do you think that her proposing that idea kind of perpetuates segregation among, like, children of all people?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of a... It's not really a nice thing either for teachers to say that they couldn't necessarily handle those students, like as if, you know, you need it to be a specially trained teacher. You know, I mean, I'm sure that there are teachers who can deal with it.
I mean, the idea that gives to children that other kids who may have a disability are different and should be treated differently isn't exactly the best idea.
Exactly, yeah, that's it.
Do you think that this reflects much of the party's views as One Nation, as a party?
One Nation is really unpredictable. All the different members seem to... I mean, they have generally the same kind of, like, isolationist, like, pro-Australia, like, patriotism kind of thing, like, you know, they're not really, like, into immigration, things like that. But when it comes to individual issues and, like, things like disabilities, it'd be hard to say what the whole party thinks because they're a little bit splintered. They don't seem to be comprehensive or have developed their policies, you know, across the board perfectly. Mm. So it's hard to say, yeah.
Yeah. And so is Australia planning to get rid of the payphone?
Yes, they are. It looks like they are anyway. Do you still have payphones in New Zealand?
I think so. I feel like we have a few. Actually, yes, I have seen one. There's one up the road from my house, in fact.
Yeah, they're very scarce these days.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, as far as I knew, they have already wound down, but apparently there are still some out there. And this federal government task force is, you know, considering the amount of money that we're spending into keeping them there, and it doesn't really seem worth it. You know, the network costs $44 million a year, and the company Telstra has a 20-year contract to provide them until 2032. But with 99% of the population using mobile phones and using data on those phones, the Productivity Commission has basically said that getting rid of payphones is way past its use-by date. 2032 is a really unrealistic time for them to need to keep providing it till. It's kind of funny that in the past they sort of used 2032 as the date where they thought that that's when they could get rid of payphones because technology moved so much faster than they expected. But yeah, looks like the end. So that's kind of sad.
Do you think this is that money could be seen in other more beneficial investments for Australia?
Yeah, definitely. Pretty much. Most areas probably would be better spent. I mean, I'm sure that there are maybe some people who would like that option, you know, to call somebody on a payphone, but maybe they could have, I don't know, just a...
Or ask a friend or ask someone on the street.
Yeah, ask somebody.
The statistics are that 99% of people already have phones, I guess does seem like the money could be better spent elsewhere.
Definitely, and when it's such a big amount, really. Yeah, for sure.
Mm. Okay, well, that's all we have for Australian news today, so thank you very much for chatting to us, Nicole.
No worries. Speak to you soon.
Have a good afternoon.
Right, bye.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.